The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
You know, I've been doing this professionally for about 10 years, and it doesn't seem to be getting any easier for me.
Right.
And I really thought it was supposed to get easier.
And welcome back to another special edition of The Writer Files, focused squarely on creativity and how to keep the creative juices flowing under duress. But New York Times bestselling author Austin Kleon returned to talk about his journey, awareness of technology, and his new book. A quick note that this podcast is produced solely by yours truly and New Media Dojo, my production moniker. And I'm incredibly thankful to you for your continued listenership and loyalty. Please leave us a comment or a question and visit the entire archives at writerfiles.fm, where I humbly ask you to support the show with an anonymous, secure donation to help us keep going with more great writerly content. For listeners who donate $25 or more and leave me a note, I will include your name and the type of writing you're working on air, or in the show notes. Just head over to writerfiles.fm and click the donate button. It's anonymous. And thank you sincerely. Austin Kleon has been deemed one of the most interesting people on the internet, and he is a writer who draws, best known for illustrated creativity manifestos, Steal Like an Artist, and Show Your Work. His latest, Keep Going, 10 Ways to Stay Creative in Good Times and Bad, is the third book in his quote-unquote box set. It offers 10 simple, timeless, practical rules for how to stay creative, focused, and true to yourself for life. Important messages for writers lie ahead. His work has been translated into over 20 languages and featured on NPR's Morning Edition, PBS NewsHour, and The Wall Street Journal. And Mr. Kleon speaks about creativity in the digital age for organizations as varied as Pixar, Google, South by Southwest, TEDx, and The Economist. In part one of this file, Austin and I discussed how to stay inspired in crazy times, why life is hard and creative work is harder, how to think of creativity like the movie Groundhog's Day, why you should stay mindful and practice in public, the importance of lists, rituals, routines, and writing every day, and the authors that have shaped Austin's skepticism of technology and his creative journey. Stay tuned. The Writer Files is brought to you by my friends at copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Authors, bloggers, journalists, online publishers, and entrepreneurs, head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published. And leave us a rating or a review over on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. And we are back on The Writer Files. Once again, I am honored by a returning guest. Here kicking off 2019 season of fantastic authors. Austin Kleon is back on the show to update his file, and he has Good reason to be here. Thanks for returning to the Writer Files, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to rap with you again. Of course, I'll point listeners to our original talk. It was about 4 years ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah. 4 years
time
ago.
Flies.
I think we were talking about Show Your Work.
Yeah.
And that is a two-part episode that we did just on, you know, basically your background as a writer. We talked about all kinds of cool stuff. Creativity, the writing life. But a lot of the stuff that you're kind of revisiting in this fantastic new one, Keep Going, which I am enjoying, I'm savoring it. 10 ways to stay creative in good times and bad. And I think it comes at a pretty apropos time in history. But I feel like you put a lot of your life wisdom into this. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of Keep Going.
Yeah. So it's been 5 years since I put out Show Your Work.
Yeah.
And in that time, the world kind of took a turn for the worse. I feel like things, you know, the climate right now is so much different than when Show Your Work came out, both from a political perspective and from a technology perspective. So that's been kind of interesting. I think, you know, we're all feeling like things are sort of out of control, but in both politics and in, so like the bigger state of the world, but also what social media is kind of doing to us as we're trying to use these tools that we use to do our work that also can distract us and kind of drain us. So there's kind of that context, but also I find myself, you know, I've been doing this professionally for about 10 years and it doesn't seem to be getting any easier for me.
Right.
And I really thought it was supposed to get easier. And so like those two things together made me think, well, what is going on here? And finally, things sort of let up for me when I realized, you know, life is hard and creative work is harder and the world is crazy and it always takes a lot of effort to focus and do your work and find, you know, your expression and your voice and just a career.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to write a book about that. I wanted to write a book about, you know, how does one take these things that they want to do and kind of do them indefinitely and turn them into a real life. And so that's where Keep Going came from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because it feels like, you know, it's just a natural extension of, you know, these illustrated creativity manifestos, both Still Like an Artist and Show Your Work. Do you feel like it's part of a trilogy kind of?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I definitely, I think this book stands alone, but I also think that, I think all the books kind of stand alone, but I think they definitely talk to each other. And I definitely was thinking of a trilogy, when I was making Keep Going. And it was funny cause I was trying to think of like good trilogies and it's actually very difficult, especially especially when you think about, like, I'm always thinking about movies. Like movie trilogies, like, okay, well, which, you know, what movie trilogies are really great, like, and what can you learn from them, and like how do you make a set of books or artifacts where they can all stand alone, but then they also talk to each other. And the third one, you can sort of read them in any order, but if people are used to a certain order, they have expectations coming into the third one, you know? So like it was an interesting thing to kind of think about them in terms of a trilogy, but I do kind of feel like this is my like kind of box set, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
like
absolutely.
I feel like they're, I think they're really sort of good for where you are in your own kind of career. Like, I think Steal Like an Artist is a great graduation gift, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think Show Your Work is like a very like good, like, okay, you found your thing. Like, now here's how to like take the next step, get out there, that kind of thing. And I think Keep Going is like, at any point, if you kind of get burnt out or you're trying to figure out why you picked this in the first place. I think they, I definitely think of them as a trilogy now, and I am happy with how it turned out. And I don't know if there's going to be another one or not, but in this series, but they all feel like a series to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely kind of sense that through line. And then, you know, you're a writer who draws, I know we've spoken about at length how writers aren't born, they're made. And you have this kind of connection or this interesting interplay between the creative worlds of, you know, the writing piece and obviously the artistry of these books is fantastic and they're just beautiful, I think. But also, yeah, you could take one off the shelf and kind of open to any page as a reminder for something, but you can also read them kind of straight through as a, I don't know. I'm fascinated by this new one. I'm really enjoying it quite a bit.
But well, thank you.
It really speaks to right now, I think, for what a lot of creatives and writers are probably dealing with.
The trouble with a book like this is like you want to be timely on the one hand. Like you want to be like, no, it really does feel right now like this is like just this moment that we're all struggling with. So you want to be timely, but you also want to try to be timeless too. Yeah. You know, you want to try to like, and I think that's like sort of what the book is trying to do too, is it's trying to, you know, let people, I think the structure of the book for me, it's almost like it starts out and you're just trying to stop the bleeding. Like in the beginning of the book, which starts with every day is Groundhog Day, I wanted people to just be like, look, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about yesterday. You just have to think about today. Like you just have to think of each day as an opportunity to do what you want to do. And you're going to fail, but then you're going to get another one and it's going to be fine. And to sort of take that AA approach of taking one day at a time. Mm-hmm. But then by the end of the book, I wanted people to feel comfortable enough to think about, you know, creativity in terms of seasons and to start thinking about like longer periods of time and like locating yourself in, you know, kind of even cosmic time in a sense. And so I wanted the book to kind of have that trajectory and hopefully I did it okay. But like I feel like everyone right now, it's like there's so much going on that you almost need to like stop the bleeding, I said, you know, and then you need to treat those wounds and then you can like kind of ease up and think more big picture about it. I'm mixing metaphors, but that's how I felt. You know, I felt like, you know, you need to start on the micro level and then kind of end up on this macro level.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the 10 simple rules for, you know, really how to stay creative, focused and true to yourself, I think are very important as you, you know, kind of go through them. Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on 3 decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories wherever you buy books and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on.
But, you know, I've seen you practicing in public, and it's something that you've preached in the past, just about your kind of creative routine, and that's part and parcel kind of with what you're talking about in the book. Obviously, the Sisyphean task of keeping it going. But yeah, I get that really important mindfulness piece. I think that's just really, really a key to most creative endeavors, don't you think? Just being able to, as you say, kind of, or as I think it's an Annie Dillard quote, that your schedule, your routine defends from the chaos of what we're all dealing with right now, which is this unfortunate, you know, these algorithms that are keeping us from actually getting stuff done.
Yeah. And how mixed in it all is. I mean, I think that, it's all, you know, Annie Dillard, you know, she has a couple of quotes in this one, but the one I loved was a schedule. She says a schedule defends from chaos and whim. Yeah. And also that it's a net for catching days. I love that it's a net for catching days. I love thinking of I really wanted to think about the day. All of my work has kind of been working towards this point of creative people thinking about the day as an opportunity, as a site for work to happen, and to think about how little chunks of effort over time stack up into something big. I mean, that was like the big message of Show Your Work, I felt like. And I just there hasn't been any other way for me to operate. It's taken me this long to realize that as long as I have some sort of daily routine, some sort of daily practice, that will like pull me through the days, and I will look back and something will have happened. And to have faith in that kind of process is really important for me. Right now, the thing I'm struggling with is I'm about to go on tour, and any chance at a routine is kind of blown to hell. But one of the things I talk about in the book is lists, and I think lists can help you when you don't have a routine. And what I mean by that is like, when I'm on the road, instead of having a routine in terms of like how things unfold in time, basically what I do is I have a checklist. So it's like I have these check boxes that I need to fill each day. And the art of the day is just getting those boxes checked. So it's like I know that there are at least three things that I have to do every day in order to feel good about myself. I have to write every day. And I have to read every day, and I have to walk every day. Like, I know for sure that those three things are kind of crucial ingredients to my day. And so it's going to be a great experiment in these next 2 months, but I'm going to try very hard to fill those boxes each day. So it'll be interesting. I think the most creative thing that I'll have to do in this next couple of months is just to figure out when those boxes get checked and how. But I'm interested in this idea of a routine. Like, how is it portable? And is routine, as much as I advocate for a routine, are there other things that can make up for it? You know, can lists help? Can rituals help? Because I don't think rituals are the same as routine. Like, that's kind of what's interesting about Mason Curry's book, which I talk about. You know, he called his book daily rituals, how artists work. And a ritual is very different than a routine, actually. I mean, a ritual can be part of a routine, but I think of a routine as more of like a schedule or like a way things kind of unfold every day. And a ritual is almost more like a way you get into something. Like, and I think of it like, like you can pray anywhere. Like if you're a religious person, like you can pick a place, like you have a ritual for praying, and you can do that anytime in any place. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you don't necessarily have to have a routine for it. So I'm speaking about things I haven't figured out yet, which is always very tricky. I always love to wait till a podcast to do that. But I'm thinking about these ideas as I'm like about to go out on the road. And it always fascinates me. But it always comes back to like, how do you get work done? You know, how do you trick yourself into working?
Right. That's a good way to put it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, there's so many great pieces in there. And, like I said, I've watched you practice in public over the last 4 years because I follow you on your website, austincleon.com. I also subscribe to your newsletter and follow you on Twitter. So I see these pieces, and then when they all come together into a fantastic book, like Keep Going, it's so cool to see them all in one place, but then also all like coherent and cogent, these thoughts on productivity and then unplugging. I like this page so much. Log off, mute all, carry on. But yeah, I mean, we're all dealing with, as you put it, this media oversaturation and this constant barrage of notifications. We've talked about quite a bit on this show with neuroscientist Michael Gripko, actually, kind of, the cult of busyness and this multitasking that we're all kind of, we feel like we're getting a lot done, right?
Yeah.
But we're not actually accomplishing much, especially totally. From a creative perspective. I think another great book, I spoke with author Manoush Zomorodi, author of this book Bored and Brilliant. I don't know if you've
that sounds interesting
run into that one, and her whole thesis was how spacing out can unlock your most productive and creative self, and a lot of that was grounded in neuroscience and cognitive psychology. But it was kind of an experiment where she had the listeners of her podcast. She's a WNYC podcast host of a show called Note to Self, which I think got rebooted on another. It's going to be on another network coming out soon. But anyway, it's a great idea about, I don't know. I mean, she talked a lot about how we need to beware of the technology that claims to solve problems with more technology. You know what I mean? This great... Yes. That's great. Catch-22.
There is a level of, and I have to say that in my own life, there's a real level of tech skepticism that's sort of in the background of this book. And there were two thinkers in particular that really shaped me in the past couple of years. The first was Neil Postman, who I think is you know, wrote about so many things that I'm interested in. But the book that I think it was written, I think, in like 85. It's almost as old as me, but it's called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And, you know, he was writing about television, but most of that book, particularly in terms of Trump, because Trump is such a TV person that, you know, he really was – that's – people forget like how long he's been around. So like some of the things that Postman writes about in that book, like, really speak to his moment too. And actually Andrew Postman, I think that's his name, is Neil Postman's son, wrote a really brilliant op-ed about how that, that book sort of kind of like predicted the Trump presidency. So that book was really in my mind, and that's in the reading list, actually, in the back of the book. The person who shaped me the most, though, is this very I think she's fairly obscure to Americans for sure, but her name is Ursula Franklin, and she didn't die that long ago, but she had a very interesting career. She was a metallurgist, and she got really interested in, I think it was the techniques of Chinese metallurgy. But basically what she really became interested in was technology, and she was a Quaker. And so she just had these really beautiful ideas about technology and its role in our life. And the book that she wrote was actually not a quote unquote real book. It was a book of lectures that she gave called The Real World of Technology. And this book really, really changed a lot of how I felt about tech and thinking about technology, not just in terms of like nouns, but as verbs. Because one of the things that Ursula Franklin writes about is that technology is actually a way of doing things. So she pushes her listeners to really think about technology in a wider sense, and to think about appropriate technology. And that's a phrase that I am really, really obsessed with right now, is appropriate technology. What are the appropriate technologies for getting the kind of work done that we're trying to do? And so she was a big influence. She also wrote really beautifully about democracy and feminism and a lot of subjects in a really kind of just really accessible, beautiful way. And the other thing I really got from her is she talks about because she's a Quaker, she talks about silence as a space for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea. And I think that, you know, when we're doing creative work, like to make time for silence and solitude and to really make space for things to happen, I think that is really a beautiful lesson for all creative people to learn.
For sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us for this half of The Writer Files. And if you enjoy their podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review to help other writers find us. You can leave us a comment or question and visit the entire archive at writerfiles.fm, where we humbly ask you to support the show with an anonymous secure donation to help us keep going with more writerly content. Just use the donate button at writerfiles.fm, and thank you. You can always chat with me on Twitter at Kelton Reed. Cheers, talk to you next week.